Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Meat.
Yo.
Hey, I understand while I was gone yesterday that there was some sort of a controversy regarding the 4 o'clock fight.
Meat screwed
up. There was a question about like the most home runs.
What the heck is this?
It's a Stanley Cup.
We got a Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup is here.
Not the real one.
It's a smaller version.
It's close. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That is a good-looking Stanley Cup right there. Yep. Meat, what was the controversy yesterday?
So one of the questions was the most home runs in a single season by a Cardinal left fielder. And on their website for their stats, it said Ray Lankford. And the season that it happened in, he spent more time in center field than left field. But I think they both got it wrong, I believe, so it didn't matter.
I think they both would have.
Yeah.
But the people were upset?
No. Megamind was upset.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah.
But he lost.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't matter.
Oh, well. What are you
going
to do? I hope that there's more problems today. What are we fighting over?
All-Star Game stuff, guys. Yeah. Ooh. So 2019, it marks the 10th anniversary since the All-Star Game was played at Busch Stadium. On Friday, July 12th, 30,000 fans ages 16 and older will take home the replica National League jersey from that game. You can get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. And, Meat, do I understand that there is a theme today?
That's right. I went above and beyond.
Yeah.
It is a manager.
You did it before the show?
Yeah, that was nice.
I finished it like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's a manager-themed fight today, guys.
A manager theme.
Yeah, because that seems to be the hot topic in the STL right now.
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's bring in Sam for day two. Sam, how are you doing?
No, I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing very well, man. You ready to take on Randy again?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Question number one. The Cardinals have had 64 managers in team history. How many of them have served 10 or more seasons as the manager? Is it 3, 4, or 5 of them?
4.
Question number two. Who was the last Cardinals manager to miss the playoffs in his first full season with the team? And no, you can't say Mike Schilt for this year. Was it Whitey Herzog, Joe Torre, or Ken Boyer?
Joe Torre.
All right, Sam. Question number three. Who was the last Padres manager to lead them to the playoffs? Was it Bud Black, Bruce Bochy, or Andy Green?
Bud Black.
And question number four, the last time a Cardinals manager won the World Series in his first full season with the team, it happened in 1946. Who was that manager? Was it Eddie Dyer, Billy Southworth, or Johnny Keene?
Johnny Keene.
All right, let's bring in Randy. How we feeling?
Not too good today.
All right, that happens. I don't know where Randy. Oh, there he is.
He's right there.
That last one was a really hard one.
Yeah, it was.
I felt kind of bad for that one.
It was difficult, but it was. I mean, it's a great question. It's trivia. It's topical.
Somebody's got to know it
at the very least. Yeah, maybe that somebody will end up being Randy. I mean, I don't know.
Probably.
It could be.
He knows some stuff.
We'll end up seeing. Hey, Randy, say hi to Sam.
Hey, Sam. Welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Randy. How's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Good. Thanks.
All right, Randy, you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Question number one. The Cardinals have had 64 managers in team history. How many of them have served 10 or more seasons as the manager?
Okay. You had Whitey, Red, and Tony. And I don't know if Billy Southworth. I'm just going to go with those three. I'm going to go with those Red, Whitey, and Tony.
It's a manager-themed fight, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Meat's extra credit.
That's right.
Yeah. He wants credit for doing this, by the way.
Okay. You get credit.
Yeah. Thank you.
We want your mic drops, by the way. What you want credit for?
He also did this fight before the segment.
Wow.
Yeah, he came up with the questions before. He didn't wait until
last minute.
Right.
Who is leading the division?
Who is the Cardinals manager?
Question two. Who was the last Cardinals manager to miss the playoffs in his first full season with the team? And you cannot say Mike Schilt.
Because he hasn't lost, he hasn't missed the playoffs in his first full season.
Well, you can't be a smartass and say it's going to be this year.
Well, Matheny made it. Tony made it. Joe Torre did not in 1991. So I would go with Joe Torre.
Question number three, who was the last Padres manager to lead them to the playoffs?
Let's see. I don't know that they made it beyond 06, right? That's when the Cardinals beat them. I don't think Buddy Black ever did make it with them. He played in that play-in game in 07. I'm going to go Bochy.
All right, Randy, question number four. Meat's got a hard one for you here. The last time a Cardinals
sausage
manager.
Party.
What?
Huh?
What?
Careful.
That was a difficult question.
Oh, yeah.
Question number four. The last time a Cardinals manager won the World Series in his first full season with the team was in 1946. Hmm. Who was that manager?
46. I'll do the old lifeline here.
All right, you've got Eddie Dyer.
Okay.
Billy Southworth, Johnny Keene.
Was not Keene. I thought Southworth was before that, so I'll go Eddie Dyer.
We've got a winner. Sammy got you 4-1. It is three Cardinal managers out of the 64 that they've had in franchise history have managed the team 10 or more seasons. It is Tony, Red, and Whitey. Joe Torre was the last manager to miss the playoffs in his first full season with the team for the Cardinals. The last Padres manager to lead them to the playoffs was, in fact, Bruce Bochy in 2006. Who, as we all know, lost to the Cardinals in the NLDS. And Eddie Dyer was the manager for the Cardinals in 1946 in his first full season, and the Cardinals won the World Series. So, Sam, thanks for playing, man. Try again.
Thanks again, guys. Have a nice day.
You too, Sam. Thank you very much. Sam with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, where it's 4:13. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. The Blues have re-signed defenseman Carl Gunnarsson to a new two-year contract, and we will talk to the Blues Poho and general manager Doug Armstrong about that and more as we roll on in the Fast Lane on your home of the Blues, 101 ESPN. President of Hockey Operations Doug Armstrong yesterday at the press conference in which Craig Berube was officially announced as the Blues head coach, the permanent head coach. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker in the Fast Lane on your new home of the Blues, 101 ESPN. Doug Armstrong's with us on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Army, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, let's start with the news of the day that the Blues were able to re-sign Carl Gunnarsson for a couple of years. Tell us about when this deal started and how it came about.
Well, we started talking just probably a couple of days ago. I met with Carl on Sunday when I got back from the draft and, wanted to find out how he was feeling. You know, he had a tough year injury-wise, but came back at the end and made sure he wanted to play and where his mindset was and all that was very positive, like we thought it was going to be. And then I said, we'd like to bring you back. Let's get with your agent. And we did, and we were able to get something done in quite actually quick and short order.
Now, I know we're definitely going to talk about even more business, but Army, it is amazing how fast all of this happens. I mean, you guys win the Cup, then you got to go to Vegas for the awards, then it's Vancouver for the draft. I mean, have you had enough time to actually enjoy what's going on here yet?
Quite honestly, I've sort of envisioned that August is the time I'm going to get to sit back and reflect back on the year sort of put a bow on it and move forward. Right now, as you said, we have free agency coming up. We have arbitration season is from July 15th or 16th to August 3rd or 4th. So we're going to be busy trying to get our guys signed and go through this free agency period. So August will be a time where we can reflect back on it. But the reality is you wouldn't want to have it any other way. It's we've had lots of time to prepare for drafts, and this way is a lot more enjoyable.
Before the season started, you and all of us here really were, and I think anybody nationally looked at what you did and what the Blues did before the year began and felt pretty good. about the offseason moves. And I think a lot of national prognosticators said it was the best offseason any NHL team had. But the journey, the actual way it went, where it did not look good at the beginning, and then you were very close to maybe moving some pieces in the middle of the season to it ending up the way it did you think it would go like this?
No, I certainly didn't. Last summer when we got to July 5th, I thought we were going to be a team that was competitive, you know, in that tiering of finishing, you know, as high as, you know, first, second, third, fourth. I didn't think it would be any worse than fourth in the Central going in. And, you know, our October and November wasn't to the level that anyone suspected. And so I thought last summer the finishing result was possible. I thought the journey to get to it was, I never would envision it going that way.
Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations, general manager with us on 101 ESPN. And Arby, I thought it was interesting yesterday that one of the things that stuck out in your mind's eye were a couple of losses to the Rangers and Islanders. And I wanted to ask you, aside from the final gun sounding against the Bruins to win the Stanley Cup, what stands out from this season in your mind's eye right now? What's the prevailing memory that you have of the season?
It'd just be the resiliency of the players. You know, I go back to a meeting that we had with a leadership group in Edmonton right before Christmas. Their desire to stay together, their wish to you know, hold off a little bit on any trades and see if they could right the ship, and then just their resiliency January, February, March, and then how that showed itself again in the playoffs and in different situations. When things don't go your way, and they don't always go your way in the playoffs, how the guys were able to respond. So the resiliency of this team is something that I think it'll be remembered for.
Army, we know it was you know, one of the worst-kept secrets around, that you guys were in fact, working towards a deal to bring Craig Berube back, take the interim label off, make him be the guy. And I know you even mentioned it during the playoffs that you got a list and it's about down to one. But you were able to officially do that yesterday, and I know you spent plenty of time talking about it, but when you look at the job that Craig Berube did and bringing this, bringing the locker room together the way that he did, the accountability that was there, I mean, how special was that to watch the transition? I know the players got to play, but what he was able to do when he took over?
Yeah, it was he did a fabulous job of bringing this group together, and when you look back in Blues history, it's eerily similar to what Ken Hitchcock did when he came in here. That year, I think we were in the same spot. Ken came in. I think we ended up winning the division that year, and that was sort of the birth of our that era. And so I saw a lot of similarities on how Ken was able to come in and turn a group and get it directed in one and move forward in a positive direction, just as Craig was able to do that this year with this group. You know, we didn't make many player changes that year. When Hitch was here, and the major player change obviously was Binnington coming in and playing the way he did. So there's a lot of similarities, and quite honestly, a lot of similarities in the coaches and the way that they prepare and how professional and how they go about their business.
What was your favorite moment of parade day?
there was, I guess, turning onto Market Street and seeing you know, the people lined up, and then looking, when you look to your right and left, how deep it was down some of those side streets, and seeing the people hanging from the parking garages. You know, Kelly Chase had always said it will be bigger than anything you could imagine. And I was very impressed with the number of people that showed up, and especially the weather wasn't supposed to be great that day. And just the whole day was so magical, I think, for the organization.
Doug Armstrong is with us on 101 ESPN. And Army, it's hard to win, and it's hard to bring back the same group and win. So with that being said, would you expect much turnover in your roster? Maroon is the only UFA you have left. You've qualified most of your restricted guys. How much turnover should fans expect?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect much. This group came together, and because of just the way our contracts are slotted, we don't have a lot of unrestricted free agents this year, so it's not something where externally they're going to leave. There's four or five players that are going to be able to to go outside into and unrestricted free agency. So we've qualified our players. There's a lot of room for growth internally, and that's what we want to make sure, that the Sanfords and Blazes and Barbashevs and Sundquist had the ability to keep moving up that lineup and pushing. And Robbie Thomas is another player, and we have a couple of players that we want to see how their summer goes. At Jordan Kyrou, Mikola, a young defenseman. So there's some players that we want to see push, but the majority of this group is going to be back. As I said, 90-95 to 100%. You never know with Patty there. We're going to keep the lines of communication open. There's not going to be a lot of change in the fabric of this team.
Army, I feel like just for me, if I try to put myself in your position, that I would let like emotions take over. Like there are big moments like, you're my guy. Like when you deal with this, and as you said, there's not much churn here. There's not too many players that you have to worry about. But how do you keep emotions and business separate?
I think that's just, I think that's just a job responsibility. You want to be fair. You want to treat people with respect and fair, but understanding that, you can't get emotional. But also on the other side, you can't get emotional when a player leaves. I have the utmost respect for David Backus. I consider him a friend, and I wish him nothing but the best. He made a business decision. We tried to sign him, and he left, and you respect that. And so, it does go both ways. Sometimes you wish that the player would stay and see things your way, and sometimes the player wishes he could stay, and you see things differently. It's just you try and treat them fairly, and you hope that they understand and both sides respect it's a business, and you can keep a friendship past hockey. And that's one of the things that I try and do, and try and stay professional with these guys, so they know that it's certainly nothing personal. It's just it's the industry that we've all chosen. And even like with a Hitchcock or a Mike Yeo, and I have a lot of friends in Dallas. I got fired there. If you the fraternity and the environment is one where there is change, and you just have to accept that.
Doug, it's pretty difficult to be critical of a team that just won a Stanley Cup, but if there's anything I know you want to be better for next season, it's the power play. And, I mean, it was pretty remarkable this team did what it did with the struggles it had in the power play in the postseason. So what's the best way to go about addressing that?
Well, that's going to be Craig and his staff are going to have to sit down here come up with a formula where our power play did finish in the top 10 in the regular season. And it went dry, obviously, at the end of the San Jose series and the Boston series. You have to credit Boston's penalty kill. I think they held Carolina to one power play goal also. So you don't want to overreact to it being poor for that one stretch. But I think, obviously, I view Colton Parenko as a true weapon on that power play, but he has to be able to get that shot off with more regularity and quicker. And there's things that we can do to make that power play work, and that's up to the coaches to come up with a formula where we get consistent goal scoring.
A couple more things for the Blues President of Hockey Operations, General Manager Doug Armstrong. First, Army, anybody who listens to this show knows how much respect I've had for your ability to collect talent and evaluate talent. That being said, with all the heartbreak that you dealt with here in St. Louis, is there any validation for you? Did you need a Stanley Cup to kind of validate what you had done over the years here in St. Louis?
Personally, I didn't view it like that. I think you just roll up your sleeves and you go to work. My vision of what we need to do next year is no different than it was last year at this time. Every year you want to do your best and put your best foot forward. It's obviously, I don't take it slightly or for granted that we did win as a team and had great success. But I'm not wired to worry about what people think about me or get consumed with how outside forces and outside people view what I do.
And finally, one thing you accomplished that I think most people thought that you could never accomplish is you got me to get a tattoo. On Monday, we were at a tattoo parlor, and I had my Blues Stanley Cup tattoo affixed. So the Blues championship is a part of my life for the rest of my life.
Well, that's awesome. That's something that I'm not brave enough to do yet. So I give you full marks, my friend, full marks.
Army, great to talk to you. Congratulations on winning the Stanley Cup and getting the Gunnarsson deal done today. Have a great summer, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to working with you guys moving forward.
We are, too. It should be great. That is Doug Armstrong. He is the president of hockey operations and general manager of your Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. Next up, as we roll on in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, we will hear some of the things that Mike Schilt had to say yesterday in defending the Cardinals and the way they've played at times this season. And we'd also like a reaction to what you hear with the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. Mike Schilt's comments from yesterday ruffled some feathers. They're next on 101 ESPN.
We're together.
Well, before last night's third consecutive Cardinal loss, the Cardinals skipper, Mike Schilt, met with the media, as he does multiple times every day, and had some pretty strong thoughts about his team and the perception fans have. For example, and we want to hear from you later on, what do you think of these comments? He isn't liking what people are saying about his team.
Somebody said, man, this team's boring. To me the other day, I went, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, I saw Ozzy the day. Maybe we can get him to a backflip. I don't know. We lead this league in stolen bases and percentage. We hit and run. We play the game the way people want. The whitey ball. You know, we play our ball. We play smart ball. But, you know, it's like, gosh, is it, you know, look, the season's not over. You know, give us a chance to win the world championship, you know, and there's a process to get there.
I'm all over the process, but the fact of the matter is, when your team isn't scoring, then people are going to think that it's boring.
Yeah, well, look, when you're not hitting, when it's nothing but singles, if you can't get a guy on to steal those bases or get them over, yes, it's not going to be, it's not where you want to be. It can appear boring, but I do believe that these comments, we're going to hear a lot more of them from Mike Schilt, they're more of a affirmation to his team than they are talking to the fans, than they are even talking to, I don't believe he's talking to the fans at all, talking to the media. I think it's just that, look, we got a lot of baseball left to play, and I believe in this group.
I think people have been more than fair to the Cardinals, though, this season. I think they have, by and large, not just media, but also fans. I think everybody has been aware of what they are. There is a high expectation for what they do, but that's an expectation they set themselves. They go into every season saying, we plan on winning. We want to win the division. We want to go to the playoffs. And when you set that expectation and you don't deliver on it, and the fans show up in incredible fashion every year for you, 3+ million people coming into the ballpark, there's reason for them to be upset if things don't look right. And I think that's the thing that rubs me the wrong way about the comments. I understand he is right when it comes to the fundamental stuff because they are better at that. But that stuff doesn't matter if you're not winning ball games. Well, you have to win. You have to score runs. That's the whole point of all of this. So if we're frustrated, if people are frustrated, it's not like it's out of nowhere. There is every reason for people watching the Cardinals this year to be frustrated with them.
And I get the sense that he would like people to let the season play out before making a judgment about the team. He said, allow us to win the world championship before you make this determination right now.
Which is fair, except people see this as a continuation of the last 3 years.
Which is preposterous. Because
why?
They were giving away games. They were playing poorly fundamentally. They were horrible defensively. They didn't run the bases well. You couldn't be more different in terms of the way they're losing games this year as opposed to the last couple of years under Mike Matheny.
What did you say earlier, though? Don't show me the labor, show me the baby. The end result is this team isn't very good right now.
But that's because of the offense. And everybody's frustrated, and Schilt says his players are too.
I just don't understand the mentality. I get it. Look, you know, we're two and a half games out of first place, and I swear it feels like we're walking around and, like, we haven't done a thing right. I literally scratch my head about it every day.
Well, that's part of being at a place where every game is scrutinized, every move is scrutinized. There were a lot of people that were down on Tony La Russa before he won a World Series in 2006.
A lot of people hated Tony.
They sure did.
And there were people, I can't imagine that they did this. There were people that said the Cardinals had a 0% chance of making the playoffs in 2011.
Who would say something like that? Like in September?
August, September, yeah.
My goodness. I mean, nobody around here, right?
No.
No, I think Randy did. I wasn't here. I'm. This is only hearsay.
Oh, yeah, I heard I did.
Maybe it was Randy.
I think they might have it on tape.
Oh, did? Oh well.
It's not great.
Everybody makes mistakes.
But 9 times out of 10, you're going to be right.
Well, but
you just happen to be wrong
that
time.
That's part of the job that Mike Shildt has. And by the way, Mike Shildt handles the media very, very well. Like, he is great with them. But, I mean, think about you in a similar situation. You're getting asked the same question. Essentially, every time you lose, it's been the same reason. Outside of a couple of starter blow-ups here and there, it's been the offense. And the offense has been lacking. And you get asked about that night in and night out. And as he mentioned, I know that they've lost 3 in a row, but they figured out how to win some series coming into it. I mean, a couple of days ago, they had won 7 out of 10. And it's, hey, when are you going to get things fixed?
Yeah.
They're working on it. They're trying. And I'm just I try to put myself in that position. Like, how would I answer that?
And he's listening to Cardinal fans and wondering what happened to the way they used to appreciate the game.
We're the best base running team in baseball. We don't give up a lot of free things. You know, this town, I've always thought, appreciated good, clean baseball and effort. We can't play much cleaner, and we can't give much more effort than what we're given.
All due respect, Mike. And I know that I sound like I'm on the fence here because I kind of am. But when Joe Torre was the Cardinal manager, they ran the bases well and they fielded well. And they still were a second division team or a mediocre 500 type team. He was a really good manager, but he didn't have the horses to get over the top. I think if I'm going to go to my bottom line here, and I think that BT, you and I are probably on the same page here. This is coach speak. This is, he's talking to his players, and if you're a fan that wants to read between the lines, he's saying, what do you want? We're running the bases. We're fielding the ball well. We're doing what you asked me to do as a manager, but it's not happening. What he's not saying is, well, what else is there?
Yeah. Players got to play, 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 play. Yeah, out of all of the quotes that he had, that one was probably my least favorite one because people understand that the defense is good, I think, and I think overall people understand, but it does go back to you just got to win ball games. And if you think the product is boring right now because they're not hitting, that's fair. I mean, it is what it is. That's part of
miserable.
The scrutiny. But it was. It sucked. I mean, Mangdon, even though he looked like Raleigh Fingers, he ain't Raleigh Fingers. I mean, he's not that guy. He came with a 5 ERA and made him look like a Hall of Famer.
Awesome mustache, though.
It is an awesome mustache. And this has been working for a long time. You know you got a good mustache when Raleigh Fingers actually calls you and starts talking. So that's something. But something's got to get figured out. But I honestly still look at this team, and it's not just because I'm a Cardinal homer, H-O-M-E-R. Mm-hmm. I look at the roster, and I believe it to be good.
To go back to that comment, people like clean baseball because it's a means to an end. It's
usually
not for
it. To winning.
It leads to winning. That's why they like clean baseball. We were talking about cleaning stuff up defensively and fundamentally because when you do that and you don't make mistakes, you don't beat yourself, that leads to more wins. So far, that is not happening for this team. So, yes, they want clean baseball, but they want it because it helps you win some ball games and hopefully win the division. And I know he understands that, but I think people would have been able to accept the comment better if he had said, look, we're doing a lot of things right this year. We are playing better defense. We are playing better fundamentally. It's something we wanted to make sure we did in 2019. However, we have to be better.
Yeah.
We got to be better hitting. We have to be better pitching. I think people could accept that a whole lot better than, what do you guys want? Yeah. We're playing clean defense.
And
that's just not good enough for the Cardinals.
That's not fair. That's not how he said it. Well, he didn't say, what do you guys want? We're playing good. And by the way, the one that keeps bothering me is the reference of 2.5 games out, and he's not touting that as his team is playing good. He's touting it as they're within striking distance. So whatever that reason is, and the reason is the division has not been great, it still is a fact. I mean, you go into action 2.5 games out, you rattle off a sweep, your opposition doesn't do well, and then look where you are. Not to say everything's great even if you're leading the division. You still have to be able to hit, but he's not touting that as a, hey, we're 2.5 games out, things are great. That's not what he's doing.
And throughout the 90s, I always get a kick out of this. Well, if the Cardinals were playing in the American League West, if the Cardinals were playing in the American League East, what division do the Cardinals play in?
I think it's the NL Central.
That's the division that they have been assigned. There's nothing that they can do about that, and
That is not a bad thing this year. The fact of the matter is the Cardinals aren't going to play in another division this year, so they don't have to worry about being in another division and being 10, 12 games out. They're playing in this division, and they're playing against the Cubs and the Brewers, and that's what they have to concern themselves with. Now, what they definitely have to concern themselves with the idea of those two teams putting something together and running away before the Cardinals put it together, and maybe the Cardinals won't put it together. But at this point, what relevance is there to saying that the Cardinals would be a whole lot worse off if they were playing in the same division as Houston?
Well, that's what people are concerned about with this team, is they see the Cubs and they see what they've done for the last several years, and there's no reason to think they're going to be any worse. And they see what Milwaukee is capable of doing too, and they wonder, is my team capable of going on the same kind of run those two teams are? Because those two teams aren't playing particularly well, and they're in front of us right now. So what happens when they take off? And there is nothing wrong with being a Cardinals fan. Cardinals fans are savvy enough to understand that those two teams are really good, and they have an opportunity to take off as well. And if they do, then the Cardinals
are
in trouble.
The question seems pretty simple. Are the Cardinals in the same division as the Dodgers?
No.
Well, so what difference does it make if they would be 14 games behind the Dodgers?
Well, it doesn't.
That was the only answer.
I mean, people understand where they are and who they're competing against.
Next up, we want to hear from you with the mic drop feature on 101 ESPN. Appreciate the mic drops to 101 ESPN. Our first one is from Austin.
Right now, I feel like the Cardinals are complacent. And when you're complacent in this division, bad things happen. 2.5 games turns into 5.5 games behind real quick when other teams play well and we play just over 500 baseball. We need to have that sense of urgency. We need to have that killer instinct. And if we don't, we're going to miss the playoffs again, because Cardinals are happy with where they're at, or at least they seem like it. And those couple good qualities don't outnumber the bad.
I wholeheartedly disagree with complacency being an issue.
Why would you trade for Paul Goldschmidt and give him $130 million? Why would you sign Andrew Miller to the contract that you gave him? Why would you spend what you did in international money a few years ago? Why would you, hey, for better or worse, why would you give Brett Cecil $30.5 million if you didn't think that it would help you win? Do you think that?
Yeah, we'll take that one back. But yes, I agree. You don't do it just because.
No, right.
I understand. But I do think it goes back to the bigger conversation that we were having earlier, Randy, referencing the team looking boring. If you're not hitting, you look boring. You look complacent. You look, to use a term that you hear all the time, oh, this team looks flat. It means they're not hitting. That's the long and short of this ball club. And I'll tell you this, just being around the club, they're not complacent. They're not okay with it. They're not just rolling in at 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game and say, whatever happens today happens. No, they're working. But it goes back to the, if it ain't happening, nobody cares about the process. They want to see it. And I understand that from a fan standpoint, but it's still not complacency. There's half a season left. And the 2.5 games being back once again is not a rallying cry of, we're great, look at us. It's, look what can happen if we go, if we start playing the type of baseball we can play.
And see, you touched on it there. I don't think people really care if you're working hard, if it's not leading to results.
Yeah, but all you can whine and bitch all you want.
Being a fan is whining and bitching about your team not being good. That's what this is about.
That's not every fan. It's the vocal fan.
Well, I would venture to say that most Cardinals fans absolutely agree with that idea.
Let's get to Brent on 101 ESPN.
The Cardinals have a loser's attitude. They should be mad. They should be up 8 to 10 games in the division. But now they're still hanging behind and waiting around, saying that they're happy that they're just within striking distance. They should be mad that they don't have an 8 to 10 game lead.
I do wonder, and we asked Rick Horton about this yesterday, who the Cardinal is that everybody turns to when things are going bad and who hates losing on this team. And BT, you played with a bunch of guys that hated losing. And there's a difference. Everybody loves winning, but not everybody hates losing enough. And that's – I'm not wrong.
Was Yachty his first answer?
Yes. And there, you've got Yachty. But then
Waino hates losing too.
Yeah.
He might seem mild-mannered, but he's a big-time competitor. And I do think it's important to have one on both sides, where you have somebody within the lineup and you have a representative of the pitching staff also. But – nobody's happy with the losing, and nobody likes it. Nobody's okay with it.
You have to despise it, though.
What is that going to do? I mean, you got one person that's pissed off about it. What is that?
I think there is
Is it going to make everybody hit that they hate losing?
I think there are players, and in talking to managers, there are definitely players that are not uncomfortable with the idea. Not on this team necessarily, but there have been, but I have to believe there are, players that are not uncomfortable with the idea of losing games.
Oh, that's, they come that's in every world. They're happy to cash a check, like whatever it is, whatever your job is.
Yeah.
There are definitely people like that all around.
And that would be my concern here. Do they have enough of those guys on, aside from Yachty and Waino, that are going to come in and we know Tommy Pham despises losing. He does everything he can to win. Are there enough of those guys on this team right now? I don't know.
All I see is them putting in the work. All I see is the guys going out there doing everything that they're supposed to do behind the scenes. Now, I don't see anybody coming in after a game flipping over a table. I don't think they need to. But it goes back to if they hit, they're great. And everything is totally perfect.
That's where I'm in agreement with you on this, BT. I don't know that would necessarily help. Maybe it would help more in a sport like hockey or in a sport like football.
I'm telling you, there's a reason that Tony LaRusso won as much as he did.
He had a lot of great players on his team.
He had MV3 also. Like, his great players did great things. Albert Pujols carried you. Jim Edmonds could carry you. Scott Rowland could carry you. He had aces coming out.
So you don't think his demeanor and his attitude had anything to do with the success of the club?
Of course it does. But he's still – Tony LaRusso is not going to win with the Marlins. Give him the freaking Marlins right now. He's going to be in the basement in the East.
But are they – Look
Will
at
they
Pittsburgh.
Get better? Who gives a damn?
Should Pittsburgh be where they are
Who
right
cares?
Now?
Who cares? They're going to be in last place. It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying that I think
the
being
managers...
highly competitive makes players better. If you don't agree with that's fine.
That is super, and that's awesome. But guess what? If you don't have talent, you're not going to win. That's all there is to it.
So the Cardinals aren't talented then?
They're not playing up to their capabilities. That's exactly the fact. Goldschmidt's not doing what he's supposed to do. Carpenter's not doing what he's supposed to do. Offensively, 1 through 9, they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
And I just think... I just think these players should be better than they are, and I think competitiveness could be part of it.
Well, maybe if Goldie flips over something, he'll start hitting.
Well, or he gets number 44.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe 44 would make a big difference. But it doesn't. As long as you're doing your work as a player before and your preparation, that's the part about trying hard that matters. But having that attitude, the flipping over of the table, and being red ass about it is not going to help you when you're at the plate. In the moment you are facing the best pitchers in the National League, that's not going to make you a better hitter.
And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when Bruce Sutter was pitching, and it was that one-on-one competition, he was so incredibly competitive. Granted, he had a great pitch, but he was so incredibly competitive. And Chris Carpenter, you saw this too. He was not going to be denied.
This team can't get to a save situation. Well, they can't score.
Chris Carpenter was one of those guys. I just think that they're – and this is an argument perhaps for another day. If you have a group of really talented players that don't want to compete, then it's not going to make any difference how talented
But also
they are.
That works for Sutter. That may not necessarily work for somebody else. Because if you pitch angry, maybe you don't have the control you feel like you need to have.
By the way, I love anger. I'm Mr. Anger. All the time.
Does that now? When you were playing, did that work against
you? To a certain level. Then it got past it and snowballed.
Let's get a couple of more. Clint on 101 ESPN.
I've spent over $800 at the Cardinals games over the past 2 weeks. You know what I've gotten for that? 3 losses. Schilt is right. There is a lack of appreciation, but it's coming from the Cardinals ownership, not the fans.
I'm assuming you got to see Albert.
Yeah, probably did.
Albert's a Cardinal loss.
Nice. Yeah. Going back to your point of bringing in Goldschmidt, going out and signing Andrew Miller, spending all of this money, ownership has not been complacent. Now, everybody always wants more. Everybody always wants more, and I get and I understand it. If you want to kick some of your problems upstairs, I'd rather the problems be upstairs than within saying the team doesn't care. If you say the ownership's not doing enough or at the trade deadline, if this team stands pat, I'd be angry about that, too, because I think that this team is close and they need some help. They need somebody to push them over the edge, or at least a couple of pieces. Certainly in the bullpen, I'd love to see a rotation piece. That would upset me a little bit. But to believe that Mike Schilt is complacent, to believe that this team is complacent, to me, is just it's ridiculous.
I'm with you on that. I don't think this is an issue of not caring. But you know what the Cardinals can do? Maybe they get a closer. Craig Kimbrell's out there. You could probably sign him.
Holly is next on 101 ESPN.
Hey, Fastlane. Thanks for all the humor you guys provide. I would say the adjectives for this year's team and probably the last few seasons are mediocre, lackluster, apathetic. But I think their spirit animal is the sloth.
I love sloths,
yeah,
by
I do
the
too,
way.
But
they're
that,
cute.
That probably is their spirit animal.
Have you ever seen the video of the sloth that was in the street? And I don't know what country this was in, but the gentleman, like, helps the sloth across the street, like, picks him up, carries him over to a tree, and he puts him on the tree. And then the sloth slowly turns around to him and smiles. As to say, thank you so much. That's the best.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Thank you very much for the mic drops. We'll hear more of those later on in the show. Next up, though, when it's hot outside, some people will do anything to cool down. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.